Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
All right, you guys ready? Come on, where's the 9 o'clock? Are you ready? All right, awesome. Well, hey, if we haven't met yet, my name is Keith, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead pastor of Blaze Church alongside my wife, Amy. And we really are so grateful that you're here today, especially if you're new to Blaze Church. If this is your first time with us or one of your first, whether in this space or online, welcome home. And when you leave today, I want you to go over to the right, which is where most of your cars should be, over to the right. And we've got a little connect area over there. Devin's going to be out there. He wants to just give you a gift to say thank you for being our guest today. And as I said, we're starting this brand new series out of Egypt, and I'm really excited for this because we are going to discover all that God has for our lives, really his promises for our lives. And so it's going to be a good journey into some 1500 BC history. Oh, I didn't expect anyone to respond there. Actually, I was expecting a lull, like, really, this is where we're going? So, all right, a couple people are excited about this, and it's going to be a great time. And I really just want to read to you the verse that really frames this passage out, and it's Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. It says, "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out." Someone say that with me. "I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God." And as we get ready to dive into this, these verses right here, this really is the framework for where we're going for the next few weeks together. Because this is God speaking to his people, and he's giving them four promises. And it almost seems like, is God just repeating himself? Because he says, "I'm going to bring you out, I'm going to free you, I'll redeem you, and I will take you." But what I want you to see is that this is not the only place in Scripture where we find these four promises that God has for our lives, for his people. Really, in different words, these four promises are all throughout Scripture. There are times all throughout where God or even Jesus, he declares, "I've got four things for your life." And at Blaze Church, we say these four things this way. We believe that God has a plan for our lives, a vision for our lives, and here's what it is, that you would know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. In fact, say that with me, that you would know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Now, you're not going to find this exact language in Scripture, and this isn't exhaustive, meaning this isn't all that God has for you. And it's also, maybe for somebody like, "Pastor, can we get a little deeper there? I mean, know God." This is, we want as simple as possible for you to understand these are the promises that God has for you in your life. And today we're going to look at this one, know God. We're going to start right here at the beginning because honestly, while all four of them matter, this one actually matters the most. Because if you don't have this, if you don't know God, the other three, they're just not going to happen in your life. This really is the starting point for every person, that we would know God, that we would really know him, and not just know things about him because we go to church or because we've read Scripture or because someone told us about him, but that word "know" really means to personally know God. To personally have a relationship with him. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, you can't find freedom from habits and addictions and a lifestyle change. You're not going to know your own purpose. And that's why we say you were created on purpose for a purpose. And we want to help you discover what that is. And really, making a difference, it's not going to happen in its fullness unless you know God. We all know things about each other, and maybe you know some things about someone that you've never met, but you know there's a difference of actually knowing that person. Like this morning, someone rolled up, and you know what they gave me? They gave me a Starbucks bag of pumpkin spice coffee. You know why? Because they know me. They said that this is what he needs in his life, and I'm so excited to drink that later. You're all invited. Can we do that? Everyone's invited. Amy said yes, so you're all invited. We're going to drink coffee at my house. But if you know something about somebody, that's different than personally knowing them. And I want to show you how this is the most important thing. And I'm not just kind of saying that because it's first in a list. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor. And he says this in 1 Timothy. He says, some of these people have missed, what's that say there? The most important thing in life. They don't know God. And all of us, I'm sure like me, you have got a lot of things that are important to you. I've got a family that's important to me, my son, my daughter, my wife. All of you are important to me, Blaze Church, and all that God is doing in and through each one of you. The gym is important to me. Ice cream is so important to me. There's a lot of things that are important to me, but I'm telling you, there's one thing that is the most important, and that is that I would know God. And that's really my heart for you, whether we've met before or not. If I'm your pastor especially, I'm praying that you know God, that you really know him. And that's the first promise that God gave the people of Israel. He said that, I'm gonna bring you out under the hand of Egypt. And so what does that mean? Today what we're going to really do is discover what it means to be brought out of Egypt. In fact, all month long, that's what we're going to talk about. How do I get out of Egypt? How does God get me out of Egypt? And I know what you're thinking. Pastor Keith, we're in Flanders. I know where we are geographically, okay? Maybe we have some online family joining us from Egypt, but I'm not talking about a geographic place. I'm going to explain what that means to be brought out of Egypt. Because for the Israelite people, for the Jewish people around 1500 BC, this is what it looked like for them to be in Egypt. Really, if I could just break it down to two words that we would all understand, whether you're a Christian today or not, it's their identity and their mission. See, in Egypt, their identity was they were slaves. That's who they were. They were slaves. They were bound. They were not free. They were trapped. They were chained. They weren't able to really know God fully because of their identity. They were enslaved. And in fact, we see that in their mission, because their mission, as we read in Joshua and Ezekiel, tells us that their mission had kind of changed a little bit. They were serving false gods. They were going after the idols of Egypt. And so they would wake up in the morning and they would pray to Ra for sun. They would pray to the god of crops and harvest and the god of fertility. And their whole mission in life was really inward bound. Got to suck everything in and bring the focus to me. Here's what I want you to see about Egypt. Egypt is the place where you don't know God. That's really what Egypt is. Egypt is the place where your identity and your mission are captured by someone or something other than the God that created you. And let me just tell you about my journey in Egypt, because I've been to Egypt before. Not the pyramids, Egypt, but that Egypt, that place where I didn't know God, where my identity was really wrapped up in myself. I thought more about myself than I did about God. I was so concerned with what other people think about me, and do they like me? Am I funny? Am I approved of? And am I smart enough for others? And will I be accepted by others? And as you can see, that identity shaped my mission. My mission was all about me and satisfying my desires. And I was overwhelmed by lust, just kind of feed my flesh what it most wants. Overwhelmed by pride. Well, I'm a pretty good person. But all along, I didn't know God. How many of you can give me a hand wave and say, I've been to Egypt before, now that you know what that means, right? I've been to Egypt, but praise God, we know that there's a promise that we get out of Egypt, right? That God is the one who brings us out. And so for you today, if you don't know God personally, September 6th is probably the greatest day of your life. In fact, I'll say it is going to be the greatest day of your life, because I believe that today, as we dive into God's word, the Holy Spirit's going to do something in here, drawing you out of Egypt, that God has a plan for you, and it's not for you to settle in the land of Egypt. It's not for your identity and your mission to be captured by the things of this world, which are temporary and fading, but it's for you to really know the God who made you. And so what does God do for the Jewish people all these years ago? Well, he sends a man named Moses. And Moses goes to Pharaoh, the ruling king of this empire, and he tells him, Pharaoh, you've got to let God's people go. And if you grew up in Vacation Bible School, you remember that song, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, obey. Just let me sing by myself. I know some of you know this song. You've been to VBS before, but that's okay. I'll embarrass myself. All right, let my people go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so Pharaoh goes, and he says, let them go. And Pharaoh says, no. And sure enough, God says, fine, I'm going to introduce myself to this Pharaoh. That's really what he does. I'm going to introduce who I am to both Pharaoh, the Egyptians, and the people of Israel. And the way that God introduces himself is through plagues. It's through these tests, through these signs. Before Moses got to Pharaoh, God introduced himself to Moses. And when Moses said, "What's your name?" God just says, "I am." He says, "Is there something else coming?" No, that's it. I am. Anything you can think of, I'm it. I am all powerful. I made you. And let me show you and the Egyptian people why they should know me because of who I am. And so with every plague, it's very interesting, every plague actually relates directly to an Egyptian god. Every single plague that all nine of them directly impact, there was a god that protected the Nile River. Well, God said, let me turn it to blood. There was a god that they would pray for crops and harvest. Well, let me destroy the cattle. There was Ra, the sun god. Well, let me bring darkness. With every single plague, watch this, God was actually inviting the people to let go of their idols and their mission. How beautiful is this? And come to him. Every time Moses said, "Pharaoh, let God's people go," it was another act of God's grace and mercy to say, "Pharaoh, why don't you stop this, living for yourself, and turn to this God? I don't believe in him. Let me show you." Boils, hail, and locusts, and flies, all the things that Egypt prided themselves on. But it got to a place after repeated opportunities of God saying, "Come to know me, come to know me, come to know me. I'm here. I'm showing you that I'm powerful." Pharaoh's heart was just so hard. And so I want to pick up the story here in Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. This is what God says to Moses. "Now the Lord had said to Moses, 'I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. And after that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely.'" God says, "I've got one more plague that I'm going to show. I've been showing you every single time how great I am, how powerful I am, who I am. I've got one more. And Moses, after this one, he's going to let you go." Now, this one brings up a couple questions in my heart. Because the 10th plague was known as the destroyer or the angel of death, where God said that this destroyer was going to come all throughout the land of Egypt and actually claim the life of every firstborn male. Now, there should be something in you when you hear that that feels a little tension. Like, why would God allow that? How could God let that plague overtake humanity? And so I want to just offer you some thoughts. These are just my thoughts. And I don't know if you're going to like the first one very much, but this is truthfully my very first thought, the one that I stand on. When I see some things like this in Scripture, when I see God doing things that I don't understand, my default answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know exactly why God would say this is the 10th plague. And you know what? That's actually, I believe, a good thing. Because if I were able to know every single aspect of who God is and what his plans are, do you know who he wouldn't be? He wouldn't be God. He would be finite. If I could figure out the plans of the Lord, if I could actually figure out why this virus, right? Why this plague? Why this, Lord? If I could figure it out in full detail, he wouldn't be God anymore. And truthfully, if I had to stand up here and defend who God is, he also wouldn't be God. I heard one person say once, "I don't have to defend the lion. I just got to let him out of the cage." he'll take care of himself. And truthfully, as I read that and thought, man, why God, every firstborn male in Egypt, why? I just don't know fully. But here's a couple thoughts that I have. That Pharaoh had repeated opportunity to let the people go. And Egypt and Israel, all throughout this time, they had been sinning. And we see in Scripture very clearly that sin leads to death. That the wages of our sin is death. That is the payment. That's the payout for sin. It's death. And so after all this time of them seeing cattle die and the locusts eat their crops and all this other death, God is saying, and it's not just to Egypt, you're going to see that, not just the Egyptians, it's everyone in the land. Well, there is a penalty for sin. It's death. Which brings me really to the main aspect that I see out of this 10th plague. And that's we discover two attributes of who God is. In order for you to know God personally, you do have to know a couple things about God. And here's the first things. You need to know that God is holy and just. God is holy and just. And I don't want to say this and sound weird that I wish he wasn't, because then I wouldn't have to tell you that he is, but he is, so I have to tell you that he is. There could be some places you've been to. He said we don't really talk about the holiness of God and the justice of God and the wrath of God against sin, but it's part of his nature. And if you're a parent, you know that about you, because The amount of love that you have for your children is also reflected in the anger that you have if someone hurts one of them, right? Come on, imagine that. Someone does something wrong to your child. You say, don't worry, I'm a father of love. I'm not going to do anything to this one who has harmed my family or hurt my family. Could you imagine a judge that acted that way, where your family was harmed and you are waiting for the verdict of that case and the judge said, stood up, just want you to know, everybody, I'm a judge of love. And so this person is just going to go with no penalty. You would say you are an unjust judge. You're not a just judge. A just judge brings the expected consequence and punishment. And so for all of their sin, this death was going to come. And it wasn't just for the Egyptians. It was for the land of Egypt. What's interesting is throughout the nine plagues, some of them Israel was actually spared from. They never experienced. I think this would be so cool if during the darkness plague, if you were in Israel's side and you're over there in the sunshine tanning while your Egyptian slave masters are like trying to find things. Like, there were those plagues where God just said, this is not for you. This is not for my children. But now this one, it says it's going to cover the land of Egypt because it wasn't enough for Israel to just be good people to escape the penalty of sin. No, they needed something else. They had to experience this. And so what God does is God not just shows that he's holy and he's just, he provides a way out of Egypt, and it comes in what we call Passover. That on the same night when God is going to display who he is and judge the sin of the land, he also at the same time provides a way out of Egypt through Passover. And God tells Moses exactly what it's going to look like, exactly what they're going to do. And I want to read it in detail because there's some things that we need to pick up on here. He says in Exodus chapter 12, then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it into the blood of the basin and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. And none of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. So I wanted you to get that visual, what God says. Take the Passover lamb. You're going to slaughter it and take some of the blood that's there. And you're going to go over the top. And you're going to go on the sides of your door frame. Then you're going to enter your house. And don't leave your house until morning. And when the Lord goes throughout the land to strike down the Egyptians, say this next part with me. He will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame. And will pass over the doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your house or strike you down. And I want to unpack what might seem like, especially if you're vegan, I'm so sorry. But what might seem very just, oh, what is that? How do I understand that? And maybe you didn't even realize, we just got done singing a song and the line of the song was, Jesus, our redemption is in your blood. And so I want to really bring some clarity what that means when we say we're covered in the blood of Jesus. If you grew up like I did, we had hymns and are you washed in Jesus? I mean, you guys are really leaving me alone up here. And I know some of you know these songs. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so I want to just bring a little bit of clarity to what that really means. Because if you don't understand, I understand why you may think, are we in a church or a cult? And when does this end? So we're not killing anything today. And there's no blood that's being given out because Jesus has already shed his blood for us. And I want to show you what that looks like here. See, God shows the world at this time, Egypt and Israel, I am holy, I judge sin, I'm just, the penalty of sin is death, and at the same time, I'm merciful. I provide a way out. I read it this way, the message of the 10th plague is that God is holy and just, but the message of Passover is that God is also merciful. And that's a great picture of who the God is that I'm inviting you to know today. The same way that Pharaoh was invited over and over, know this God. He is a holy God. He is a just God. And at the same time, he is merciful and provides a way out for those who will trust him. Because think, Israel, they had to hear the word of the Lord that night. Take the lamb, kill it, put the blood on your house, enter your house, and don't leave until morning. There's a lot of faith involved in that. Right? I mean, so you're telling me this destroyer angel of death is coming tonight, Moses? But you want us to take lamb blood and put it on our doorframe and stay inside? Until, don't you see? I could just imagine if it was me and my family, how many questions my son would be asking in that moment, right? And my little girl just nervous about, are you sure? Are you sure this is going to work? Well, we were told, trust in the blood of the lamb and it's going to work. That God's going to pass over. That lamb died. You notice every household had something die? For those who were covered in the blood of the Lamb, it was the Lamb that died for their sins. Watch where we go with this. This is why all of Scripture points us to Jesus. This was the first clearest example of salvation by substitute, where someone else or something else would pay the price for the sins of others. Now, you might say, well, that's great for Israel, but what about us? What about us today? Because I'm not about to kill any lambs for any of you, okay? It's just not, I'm not manly enough for that, to be honest. But we don't have to, because look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. In fact, read this verse with me. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Someone give God praise for that truth right there, because that's a powerful scripture. That Christ, our Passover lamb, you have a Passover lamb. I was talking to someone this past week as we were spending some time together and sharing with them this message, and they shared with me how they grew up in a Jewish home and how every year they would celebrate Passover and they would go through the Seder and there would be all the cups there and all this symbolism, but they didn't understand the reality of it until they came to know Jesus. And now it is so beautiful because they see in every moment that God gave in clarity on directions on the Passover and what to eat and how to prepare it and what to do, it all pointed to his son. It all pointed to the day where Jesus would come and fulfill it. Well, when did that happen? Very interestingly, the night when Jesus was betrayed before he was crucified was the Passover. He actually went to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover with his friends, his disciples. And so they got the room set and they had everything there, the matzah and the cups of wine and everything they needed to celebrate. And I want to read to you something, because when Jesus sat down to start the Seder as the rabbi, they expected him to say this out of Deuteronomy, and it's not going to be on the screen, but it says, "This is the bread of our affliction, which our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt." And that's what they would say as they would pick up the bread and start, "This is the bread of our affliction. This is the bread of our affliction, which our ancestors ate." But Jesus picks up that bread and said, "This is my body." And that's really, really powerful when you think about that. That for all those years, they were celebrating, "This is our ancestors' affliction. This is what they went through in Egypt." And Jesus says, "No, this is actually my body now." What he's saying is, "I'm going to take your affliction away. I'm going to be broken for you." He takes that cup and says, "This cup is my blood." No, we always drink this and remember the lamb. No, you're going to drink and you're going to remember my blood, a new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin. I want you to understand this, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who came to this world to take away the sin of the world. And that for you and I, if you know who God is, you've got to see that you do stand before a holy God, a just God, and a merciful God. A God who has provided a way out of Egypt through his son, Jesus, who gave up his life for us. That's how much you matter to God. That's how precious you are. Peter, who was a disciple that was there that night when Jesus came, and I love it because they thought Jesus was coming to celebrate Passover. Jesus was coming to become Passover. How powerful. He was coming to say, "No, I am Passover now. I'm going to start what we call the Lord's Supper or communion to give thanks, to remember our Savior." And Peter, who was there that night and saw all of that, not too many years later, he writes this down. I just want this promise to get in your heart this morning so you would know how special you are to him. He says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Just look at those words. Peter says, "You know that you were more precious to God than gold or silver." That God could have done anything. He could have executed any plan to bring you out of Egypt. But to show you how precious you are, he sent his son to this world to die the death you deserve, to gain for you the life that he deserved. And I love that phrase. As I was reading this, what really stood out to me was the empty way of life. That's our passion here at Blaze Church. That's really why we exist. That's why that's the first part of these promises that we believe God has given us, because we know too many people that are living an empty way of life. I've lived like that before. It's in Egypt, where it's just empty, and it's just for myself, and it feels like just going through the motions, going through the routine, and I get a little bit of joy when I experience something, but then that joy is lost because it's temporary. God has a full life for you. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and abundant life, life to the full. And so I'm praying today that there's something stirring in your heart, that if you are in Egypt, that today is the day where you come out of Egypt. Not because you're good enough, but because Jesus is good enough. Because he gave his life for you so that you might be saved, so that you might be rescued. And if you're saying, Pastor Keith, I'm not in Egypt, then today is a day of celebration. I'm praying that you remember that it was God's grace alone that brought you out of Egypt. Paul says it is not of works that anyone should boast. It is the free gift of grace from our God. And so we praise him that he is the one who has brought us out of Egypt. And so I do believe that today, whether online or in this space, maybe like Pharaoh, you've been invited a few times. You've been invited by the Holy Spirit. You've been invited by someone preaching the gospel and saying, come to God. Put your faith in him. Don't live for the things of this world. Money is temporary. Relationships end. There's no security in social security. Don't put your hopes there. That's not a political statement, just a disclaimer. We got November coming, bro. Everything I say is a soundbite. Just don't put your hopes there. Don't trust in that. Don't trust in your own physicality. Don't trust in your own abilities. Don't trust in your own degrees and knowledge. Put your trust in the Lamb of God who died so that you could be brought out of Egypt, so that you could know him. And so I'm going to pray a prayer, but really I'm going to invite you to put your faith in Jesus today. And I want you to be bold about putting your faith in Jesus. In fact, as we get ready to pray, if that's where you are and you say, I want to know God today for the very first time, Pastor Keith, I want to come out of Egypt. As we pray as a church, I want you to just raise your hand to God and say, God, here I am. Take me out of the land of Egypt. God, I don't want to be in this place anymore where I'm overwhelmed by an identity and a mission that will not last. I want to be brought out. And then we're going to sing this song that's rightfully titled Egypt. And we're going to just sell it. This is about to be a praise party, like an old school 1990s praise party, like Lakewood Hillsong worship from back in the day. We're just going to worship the Lord as we declare, you brought me out of Egypt. You stepped into this land for me, God, and you freed me. And so I want to first bring you into that place or invite you to put your faith in Jesus. And so team, you can join me up here as we get ready to celebrate. But church and online family, I want to invite you right now. You've been living for yourself for some time, and maybe you didn't even know that. You didn't have words around how you've been feeling and what you've been living like, but now there's something in your heart that's saying, you know what, I'm living in Egypt. I'm living for me. I have more focus on me and on the things around me than I do on my God. So I want to live for him today. I want to put my faith and my trust in the Lamb that shed his blood. And now I hope you have some understanding. When we say, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, it's not because we're trying to be gross or cultic or any of that. No, it's because it is only the precious blood of Jesus that could take away our sins. That's another great old song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but his blood. So I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads in this moment. Give each person a personal moment with Jesus right now. And I want to lead you in a prayer. And if that's where you are today, that you're saying, I want to know God. And Pastor Keith, would you pray for me? Would you celebrate with me? Then as we pray this prayer, I'm going to invite you to just lift your hand and just say this out loud with me right now, church. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner who needs saving. I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for taking me out of Egypt. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Church family, come on, a big celebration with those who are putting their faith in God for the first time. And why don't you stand to your feet right now as we get ready to worship God with this song. It really is a song of praise, a song of dance before the Lord. Return your mask to your face as we sing this out. But with everything you have in you, let's worship Jesus. And then our children are going to join us upstairs, and we are going to pray a special prayer of blessing over them. But let's give God everything we have right now as we sing.